something which you typically don't hear, Sharon. So that was problem number one. Criteria number two is it has to be something which is relevant. Now, don't speak about like, you know, people going to the moon and starting. It has to be something which is negeya, and something in the business, halachas negeya to business. Those are three criteria that has to do. So we'll try. We'll try to go through a lot of different topics. I also titled this "Moving Back from Eretz Yisrael." Different styles just come up in Cheshire Mishnah when you're moving back. I mean, moving to America in terms of a mortgage, going into the business world, and different styles like that. Okay, so first, mostly styles just springboards and for a lot of different topics and situations which come up all the time, and Eretz Yisrael, America, and we'll bring in the different cases which are going to get. And if you have any questions, just feel free. Which have to do with the topic. Okay, so the first thing when a person's leaving, we always have the list of apartments. If you want to take over your apartment, and I know where you guys live, we'll see you guys. It's a high demand, right? Apartments are, if you're paying a normal price, and there are like 1,000 people online for your apartment, if you're not paying a normal price, they're 300. So, therefore, there's a long list for apartments, and then sometimes you tell somebody you could have the apartment, and then afterwards, case happens all the time. You tell somebody, yeah. Guy asks if you can I have your apartment when you leave. The guy says, sure. And then you're about to leave and your sister gets engaged. So now you want to give the apartment to your sister. Are you allowed to do that or not? Do you say a word and you got to do it? Or you say, hey, family's first. So family's first. Okay, let's not put it now. But which this is a really a question which applies to, it's not just that. You make a last night, okay, it's not one of the most interesting ones, but so we called last night that they signed up for a GAN Wednesday morning. Then Wednesday night, last night, somebody called up that their neighbor is opening a GAN. So now they agreed to go to the place, a 5-minute walk, now it's a 5-second walk. Right, like in the morning, 5 seconds or 5 minutes, that's the difference between like, right? So I went to know, she gave her word, can she back out or not? Did you have your shenanigans before? Basic.
Did you pay?
Did they pay you? Maybe that's better. I go through quickly. What? You give shenanigans or?
What?
You give shenanigans already or?
No, absolutely not. This happened to me.
Happened to you? Okay. Okay, so I'll look like this. This is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, which brings down that if somebody gives the word, there's different levels in terms of when the process of acquiring an item. There's giving your word, there's actual giving money, there's making a kinyan, a lot of different shlavim in the process of it. So now we're talking about shlav aleph. You just made an oral commitment. Is that binding or is it not binding? So the Gemara says like this. In the court of law in Bezdin, maybe it's not binding. There was no kinyan, it was just words, nothing happened. But there's an iser darabanan, but there's a dvarim yeshem chesamun, we call it like lack of faith. If you give your word and now you want to go ahead and change your mind, so there's an iser for one to change, to back out. A word is a word, a commitment is a commitment. So therefore, if somebody makes up something, baseline is that you have to do what you have to do, and you made up something, you have to go ahead and keep it. And therefore, well, not a good topic. Calm down, okay. And a person has to keep his word in general. That's what Gemara says. So therefore, what should be the halacha basically? Perhaps you have to keep it. Now, there is one exception. Not more than one exception. That the only time we say that there you have to keep your word is number one is has to be that there is a the reason why is a person is semich on you. The person thinks this is happening. A person you have agreement. The person is semich on you. Then you have to go ahead and if you back out, that's something which is not peseder. The Rishayim is in the Rishayim, not the Gemara. Let's say something changes, which was unforeseen. Your sister wants the apartment. Or even better, you plan on moving back, and you end up staying longer. Happens all the time, right? You want to move back, and all of a sudden, whatever the reason is, you're supposed to have an apartment. You have an apartment for you wherever you're moving to, and then all of a sudden now it's relevant to move over there and you have to stay longer. So the Rishayim break down that let's say something changed. So this machlokes rishayim that could be in that situation, I never committed to this deal. I committed this deal in the current situation. if something changed, so in that situation, I never really committed to the deal. You know, look, if we made a Kenyan, things are final, right? Things are final. Here, I didn't do that. It was just, I gave my word. I gave my word in a regular, normal, simple situation. If something's going to change, so in that situation, I never really meant to be fully to give it. So then the Rishonim have a machlokes Rishonim whether you could back out or not. And basically, the psak is that the Ikra din is you let it back out. Because then you let it back out. If you have a good reason why you're backing out. When I say a good reason is every time you're backing out, there's a reason why you're backing out. Right? You don't do things for no reason. Right? So that has to be a... Like Mark discusses, the price changes. The return of the price changes. When we say price changes, it means extreme change in price. You know, the market changes. Some people, you know, let's say you can buy you say you're buying you, like dollar stock you committed at the, you know, like a month ago was like 407. Now it's like, what's that? 3.6. So like, if you made some deal on dollars and shekel and whatever it is, and you committed to that price, all of a sudden, whoa, went down 15%, that's a drastic change. So I never meant in this type of situation. That's some type of change to a significant amount, then the Ikra din is allowed to be chayiv. Therefore, moving back, your sister wants to buy it, what's halacha? Keep it, give it to your sister. What was the other case we gave? Oh, the case of the gun?
Switch gun.
That's something which is, right. So the baseline situation, if you make up something, you got to keep it.
Unless so, if you sign a contract?
No, sign a contract is all the data. It's Kenyan, finished, and then you're... Obligate. Maybe we'll get that, maybe we'll
have to. It has to be something that's obvious, that's like owned enough that if this would have happened, so that didn't mean that. The other person has to understand that this, I didn't mean the situation, or does it irrelevant what the other person...
What mean, daddy?
If the person that's looking forward to something that you told them, they have to understand that if something changes, but that's the bar because they self-understood and this is...
No, because the commitment was in the current situation. You know, there's no Kenyan over here, so... It's not really binding yet.
No.
So it's just so Elmai was saying it's a lack of faith. So it's not the right thing for you to back out, but if I have a very good reason why something changed. But it has to be something seriously changed. I was looking for an apartment. Then okay, so I found an apartment in 8,000 shekel. Then I found it with 7,600 shekel. You know, and especially if when you took it, you knew it was a possibility, you know, that the other thing maybe would come through, then in the economy. It has to be something that was unforeseeable happened, which didn't happen. But in a regular standard case, I make it with somebody, I'm going with you next month. Sounds like the back out. You made up. Unless something seriously changed, you rabbi wants to win to your hair. But in a regular situation, you can't back out. You make up you tell somebody you're giving him the apartment. Unless there's a drastic case, your sister needs it, you need it, but it's done. You know, you have somebody who want to give a little bit better or something like that, then you should not back out. It has to be a significant difference in price, significant difference in the situation. Any questions on this, everyone?
What if I sign on a paper, on a style, let's say that I'm taking his apartment, sign my name, but I didn't specify, like, if things change, yeah or no.
No, signing might be a Kenyan. That might be a Kenyan. Saying a Kenyan, you can't back out. We're talking about just over here.
Even though, like, there wasn't any conditions of if something changes that I'm not going to back out. But, yeah.
No, once this is, we're talking about just words. You call up and you reserve all time. So you committed. Now, even though there's no Kenyan, you're not supposed to back out. Unless there's a very good reason why you can't go. I don't know, a war breaks out, or your wife, whatever it is. You can't go. You call up, you take the doctor's office. You take a doctor's appointment. You committed to take it. They're holding this spot for you. If you do back out, there's a problem with some other. Now, if there's a very good reason why you're backing out, then we can let you go ahead and do it. But unless you have a significant reason, then you're not able to go ahead and back out.
Exchange rate changes, does that have to be something extremely out of the ordinary, or the exchange rate
is
always changing?
Yeah, that's the thing. If it fluctuates 3-4%, what was the case? You made up, you're buying something, you sold something, and you bought something in dollars, and you're giving it at a 4, let's say it's 1,000 shekel, you're saying you have $250, you know, for the rate. Also now, $250 now is like 100 shekel less. So if there's an extreme fluctuation in price, 10-15%, which doesn't usually happen in a month, there's extreme drop, then you get back out. The regular normal 4-5% fluctuation of the rates that you would not be able to go ahead and back out. Yeah, we're good on this topic. In terms of word is a word, unless there's something. Any questions just to bring out the point? You know, you take a gun, you have to take it. Unless, like this, the next neighbor came 2 hours later that something unforeseeable, a very big difference, then you're able to back out. Therefore, when you're doing business, get it signed. Get a contract, get a commitment. Just leaving, doing things in like, you know, yeshivish way. And we're friends, that's why you become not friends, right?
Let's say a doctor's appointment, there's certain obvious things they let you do 24 hours beforehand.
So if they let you do 24 hours before, so then it's like, then it would not be, in general, would not be a problem because that's like the deal and they know it's mukhadid, right? That's how they work, 24 hours a deal. If they leave back out 24 hours before, all right, there has to be some type of a decent reason why you're doing it.
Let's say they do it, they're upset, but for business purposes, they're not going to charge you for the future.
So still, it's not right. It's still awesome. Right, if the person's moichel, look, a lot of times I recommend is, yes, the person like is okay if I back out. You take a gun spot, and then something's a little cheaper, not so much of a difference. We can say like, I go like, so yes, the person is okay if I back out. If they say it's okay, even though they'd rather
not. Might be lost to the Ganti, she might not be able to fill up that slot.
Right, okay, if she's Michael, she's Michael. So you could ask, if she lets you out, she lets you out. So you know, that's, either way, if you want to back out, always ask. So usually they'll say okay, as opposed to just starting a fight. If they don't let you out, then you can say, okay, let's ask a shayla. So you know, people feel much better, like if they're doing like a chesed letting you out, as opposed to just like you backing out of them. So basically, rule is get something signed, get a kick if you're the meicher, if you're not the meicher, then okay. Let's move on to furniture packages, or we shouldn't go there.
So anytime I find a better deal, I can back out.
No, I did not say no chas v'shalom. No. What did I say?
Unforeseen circumstances.
What? Significant change of unforeseen circumstances. In other words, if I'm looking for, give me an example. We're looking to buy
apartment.
You're looking to buy apartment.
For example.
You're looking to buy apartment. So you're looking at all such you're going. Wow, good. Okay, which country?
Sorry?
Which country?
If someone's looking to buy apartment.
Oh, okay.
Gaza.
Okay, look at my apartment, Gaza. So, it should be pretty cheap now. Not a bad investment. You know, probably a good investment, actually. If you get the right spot. But anyhow, either way. No, in other words, if you're, let's say, looking for an apartment, and you know, and you finally find something, right? So the fact that, like, you find, like, a week later, 3% cheaper, you can't back out. It has to be a significant difference in price, which is unforeseen.
But who decides the significant difference?
If it was foreseen, I wouldn't have agreed to it in the first place.
What do you say?
If it was a foreseen circumstance that in a month I'll find it for cheaper, then I wouldn't have bought it.
Well, 3% is not enough. Let's say you know you're taking an apartment, right? You're taking an apartment, let's say, 8,000 shekels, whatever it costs, right? You know that maybe there's somebody who has an old grandmother, maybe you could find 76 here and there, right? It's not worth your time and effort to take the risk. You don't want to take the risk in having apartments, you take 8,000. You know it's a possibility that something can come along a little bit cheaper. Now, all of a sudden, something comes along, 5,000 shekels. Give me this guy who had a dream, give an apartment 5,000 shekels, first guy who comes over to you. So that's something which is crazy out of the ordinary, but just a little bit cheaper in that situation, which I just took the apartment because I don't want to be left with that apartment, then of course I can't back out. That's something unforeseen and a significant amount. Okay, I hope it's clear. Okay, let's move on to furniture packages. So, there's a meeting in some neighborhoods, not all neighborhoods, that they do the furniture packages. Basically, the furniture packages in different neighborhoods, they varies. In some neighborhoods, they have furniture packages, they sell you from the couch, the table, down to like the used rags and dishes, right? Things like that. As soon as we turn into clothing packages, we'll be selling underwear. So I'm like, I don't know, that's what's ready. Okay, now in terms of, what's the halacha in terms of the furniture packages? Did most of you guys buy furniture packages? Yeah. So I see like the way you're shaking your head, like a little bit of pain on your face. It's pain, right? This trauma, right? Okay, so the question is it also to do such a thing or not? So I guess in this sugya a little bit of, I mean, the couple of sugyas we could discuss. I was once asked a cynical kara about these furniture packets, that it's also to sell a furniture package, if it does it, it's a gazlan, and it's Einav, and the Chilak al-Mahaba, and everything else. Okay. So in terms of what's the, you know, is any Isser per se in a furniture package? So, like, what is the capacity to be in a furniture package?
Ribbis.
No.
Ribbis? Why ribbis?
Overcharge for you.
It's something called I know. There's two things.
Value.
It's something called value. That if you overcharge for something which is not worth the price, you overcharge for it, so then there's something called Aina, and the luck is that if you oversell something, really the sale is not a valid sale. The two things. There's it's asur to do. Issue number two is that you can come back and tell the guy that was a scam on a moment back. And you know that's the Lacha Medina de Gemara. Now the two types of cases where we say mekach tais. The mekach tais, which is that a person charges too much money. That's a different type of mechatayis. When somebody sells something, it happens all the time, you get shayas in these type of areas. When you sell something and there's something not good about the item and you sort of like play around with it to make it look good, guy wants to help. One of these wonderful French guy guys. The guy bought a couch in a French packages, in a bad package. And no, like, he's sitting on the couch. And, like, after a while, like, he's like noticing his pants are starting to, like, get dirty. So basically the story was, the guy sold him a, what's it, a yellow couch, a brown couch, but it was like basically spray painted it before him. And it was like, couch was like gone, you know, it was like a white couch, you know, it used to be one color, and like it turned white, he spray painted the couch, and they had like, oh, he's like started going off, like, his wife's like expensive dress got ruined from this like wonderful couch. So that's example of something which is something, when there's something wrong with the item, you still have with the blemish, with the mum, then that also is something which is not going to be chal. So when dealing with fridge records, there are two areas where we can make the seal not valid. One is you've overpriced. Two is sometimes just the things like don't work or they're broken or they're, and you're selling to the person, therefore technically it would be whatever. So you want to know, is there any issa per se in doing these things? So who, you bought a fridge records? Yeah, okay. So how much do you spend? Not much. I'm asking a personal question. How much do you spend? Okay. All right, so you let it. It's interesting that we haven't just discussed another day. In America, it sounds like a very normal thing. I see, like, ah, you work? You're like, how much money do you make? Like, no, in America, it's just like no one ever dare ask such a question, right? You ever try to, you ever like, even ask your parents such a question, they would like pipe you over the head, like, what are you doing? No, the reason why is. It's like a very important you say. In America, your status, who you are, has a lot to do with how much money you make. And I feel like you're asking somebody, like, who are you? What are you? Like, what is it? You know, your financial. Over here at sale, they don't care. The money means nothing. The money just takes it themselves. It's just like a fact. Oh, how much money do you make? Like, oh,
and they have chutzpah.
What I say? No, it's not chutzpah. It doesn't mean anything. Oh, like, oh, what type of suit you're wearing? It's just an interesting fact. There's no value to it. Therefore, it's not private how much money you make. And it's not like if you make a lot of, in America, if you make a lot of money, you're rich, so then you're powerful, you're important, you're something. Over here, like maybe worse off. Like, I don't know. No, there's no value to it. So therefore, anyways, can I ask how much you made?
$15,000.
I'll give it 15,000. Okay, so if you pay 15 grand, what was it worth? How much is it worth?
I don't know.
Back.
I guess it was 13,000, not 15. And I mean, I don't know exactly how much the breakdown was, but it doesn't seem completely out of the realm, I guess.
I mean, maybe it was worth like 10, 11, 12.
Yeah. Okay. He's already buying 15, it secondhand.
Right,
he bought it from someone who bought it from the original person.
Right.
And included in his package is also renovations, which I'm wondering.
Okay, so get that. Exactly. Okay, get that in a second. Now, okay, it's like, you want to know technically, let's say I sell you an item, and I tell you, look, you want this recorder? I love this recorder. This is me.
Last night's question. So
yeah. Last night's question? Why?
Questions on it.
You know, this accord and me, we've been through a lot, you know, we've taped a lot of things and this really means a lot to me. You want this accord? $750. And you're like, I'm going for it. And doesn't even know, like, it's not worth the price at all. And you know that you're not buying it because of the price. You're just buying it because, I don't know, there's no reason why you're buying it. So then technically there wouldn't be a, sorry, I know this, I rip you off. I scam you, right? The scam, right? Person doesn't know the price. The guy like painted the couch, or you just, the person thinks this is the price and the person rips you off. If you know this is not the value of the apartment, of the item at all, and you're just taking it for whatever reason why you're taking it, technically it would not be a yes or a no.
Why is it? It's a furniture package. If you're taking it so you get the apartment.
Right. So we could rephrase the furniture package. Okay. What we're doing is
leverage.
Tivach, I'm going to call it Tivach. What's Tivach in English? Agency, do you have any agents over here? What? Oh, you're the agent? Okay, we'll call it agency. You know, that's what we'll call it, right? Like agency, right? You get agency, that's one thing about agents, we have an agent over here. Like, agent fee is like a thing
not
which
sure
like...
What?
No, agent is... No, agent is a hard job, because it's the one job I never anybody who ever feels they should ever pay their agent. They always feel like he's doing nothing and it's just one big scam. Like, it's always like, whatever. The shadows you get about agents, like, why people come along as far as why they don't have to pay the agent, they're like, you know,
no, the crooked as a pretzel. Sister as an agent.
Okay, that's ready, whatever. Yeah, we've had it, the guy himself. Yeah, you signed it on his agent's fee. Yeah, you know, like, so just write the contract is, I don't know, like my, you know.
You know, people have services all the time. For example, like a shop, and like, let's say you want to sell it to your bike or something. Say these people that, like, they'll put your thing on a chat, and if they find you buyer, they ask you to give, let's say 100 checkout.
Right, okay.
Something wrong because it's very hard to sell it. They find people.
Right.
It's the same idea.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay. Okay, so you know, technically, can we pin down the ISO exactly that's like, no, if the guy knows, you tell the guy, up, hey, this is not worth it. I'm ripping you off. It's just not. No. Wait, this is not worth it. Then technically, you want to know, is there ISR? There is no ISR. Now, that's on one hand. On the other hand, I would say, I think it's a disgraceful, what's my word? System, you know, that we have going on over here. The system, when I came there, it's something when it's like, oh, yeah. But, you know, it wasn't like that. That was not the way the system was. It started from somebody had this great idea. Like, when I came, so where did you go? I'm not that old, but okay. When I came, you went to Meir Sharm, went to the Yashinia stores, and you bought a bunch of used items, and we live like a color couple. That's
you sell it after you leave?
What?
And when you leave?
No. One second. It didn't last that long. You know, you sound like a thing. Like, the fridge made so much noise, the first fridge I had. Like, it made so much noise. Like, you can't even hear yourself. But, no, so then somebody discovered, why do that? Why not just like live like a millionaire? Just spend whatever I want. Spend $20,000 and flip it to the next guy. Flip it to the next guy. That's really where the system started from. Which, yeah, it's definitely it's less than ideal system hashkafically, and it's definitely not nice. I'm saying no, you guys liked it. You guys had to do it, right?
But. What do you do? What would you do? But you're at least you know that when you leave, you're going to sell the next guy. So the system at least works for you.
So we have a clock all over Tyra. Madisonilach. What you don't like, don't do it to the next one. Okay? So I moved 4 times. I said last time moving. Okay? So what did you do? Fine. Okay. That was a good idea then. But prices skyrocketed after. But anyhow, before too.
I think most people do like it the first 3 cycles. Once it's up to the fourth owner, you don't like it. So why is it a bad system?
I don't know. You want to pay $13,000? Huh? You want to pay $13,000 when you came?
Buy it yourself. Buy it yourself is a question.
You don't fully mind it, okay?
There's nothing that like I feel like I got scammed.
Okay, fine. Okay, so I'll say 2 things. Like, okay, fine. If it's a fair price, beautiful. And the guy wants it, and then it's fine. It's a fair price, beautiful. But like this thing of like people selling their used dishes, which like what does it do? You take it and throw it straight into the garbage. You prefer the guy throwing the garbage for you at the same time, right? And the old dishes and the things like that. Look, in a way, there's an advantage. You don't have to go around shopping. You come, everything's set up, and you're good to go. And you know, and that's it's okay. But if it's not a fair price, number one, and if it's overpriced and people don't have the money for it, then it's just not definitely not a nice system. Now, I moved 4 times, and I said we are not doing this. So every time, basically, I bought a furniture package, and I didn't sell it. So what I do? Give it to Yad Eliezer. You call Yad Eliezer, they very happily send people down who love to take your stuff, and you count it as Meister money. Whatever it's worth. I'm saying whatever it's worth, you count it as Meister money. Everyone has money you have to give, right? You know? So you can count it as Meister money, you can give away the furniture to Tetzaka, you make the Neneum be thrilled, saying the next person will be happy. But like, do you have to do it? I'm saying no. If I was the only Rav in Yerushalayim, I would ask for the system. But I'm not. So it's too late. Saying the email itself.
But same thing, apartments are overpriced though, so you're paying rent.
And therefore what? That's supply and demand. This is not supply and demand. This is like, I need an apartment, so we sort of like blackmailed me into taking the furniture. The Baldiers don't like it. When Baldiers find out, they get livid. Because like, they bet some could charge more for the apartment. I'm going to pay $20,000 to come in on it definitely takes away from the value of the apartment also. I mean, I don't know if that's true anymore, but I know I have a friend of mine who has 3 dealers in Mount Daphne. He makes it tonight that you cannot do furniture packages. It's sad because what does he need extra $10,000 on his apartment to find a renter?
Nice.
What?
If you make it nice, then it could make the apartment nicer and charge more.
Okay, fine. If it's make it, okay, sometimes that could be. Right, though. You want to know, can we ask you technically no? Is it a nice thing to do? I say it's not a nice thing in the world. And just one thing you have to get. One thing's very important. You're used to your junk. You've been living like that for the last couple of years. It's not junk. $13,000. Okay, maybe it's nice. We're used to it. You know, all the scratches and the holes and whatever. I get the phone calls all the time. I bought a furniture package. The guy seemed like an honest guy. He's a Shiva guy. Even where, like, whatever it looks like, whatever. And, like, he sold me these ridiculous things and has this thing and that thing and this scratch. You're just used to it because that's how you're living. But the guy who walks in coming straight from America, right? They're coming straight from there, you know, wherever they're coming from. Everything's like, and all of a sudden they walk in. First, they walk into the apartment. And they're expecting, you know, they spend 12,000 shekels. They're expecting to be a living to whatever. And they walk in and it's like, huh? Okay. And then they sit down on the couch and it's like, you know. So you're used to your junk. Therefore, you think it's worth it. Bedeckah people are very, very unhappy. Because I would say, if you give a fair price, say the Gomer, you have to give the Aliezer and use the Stucco. That's also a very good thing to do. Right. The Iker Din, can we say it's Usher? No, it's a nice...
Maybe that's already the price range.
No, it's a price range. If you walk into Yad Shniyah, it'll be a third of the price, and it's not the price. It's just the apartment price. That's what it is. It's like, in Sayyid Shabbat Chavit, the same way Berkowitz is the Rav, where there's only one Rav, and people listen to him. And there's not like over here in Ramasco, we have like 10 Rabbanim. So like, you know, whatever. So, but, or like there are 10 people without Rabbanim. I'm happy with people don't have Rabbanim. But over there at Berkowitz, he, the other thing, the Ayom does very, very fair prices. And they don't spend so much money, and they take off a decent amount. And each time in between, does I don't go down in price in between? Do they?
Yeah.
Saying, is there official 10%?
So 10% is a made up thing. It's made up because it depends on what. A washing machine, you go on 10% a year. A washing machine, the average washing machine lasts 7 years. So going on 10% a year, saying a 6 year washing machine 50% and less a year, and you know, fix 18 times. Whatever, so something like that, it's ridiculous 10%. Something like a bed, so a bed doesn't get ruined so much, so they're on 50% of Lafka. If it's in good condition, the kids didn't jump on it too much, they didn't throw up on it, and it doesn't smell, or whatever it is, so then it's not such a, you know, it's not such a big deal. But it's hard to give exact price. There are people who give appraisals, but definitely, okay, whatever it's like this. Definitely you should be going down in price, number one. Two is you should try to make it fair to what the market value is as opposed to ripple value. And three is, right, you could give it to Tzedakah and count it as a nice deduction.
But the problem is that the Baldir would be, if you give everything away, then he's going to be upset that now the apartment's empty.
You ask the guy. You ask the next person. In a ideal world, the next one would be like, hey, do you want to pay for an insurance or not? Guy wants it? Yeah, if the guy doesn't want it, that would be the ideal thing to do. And if the guy wants it, let him take it. Some people would want it. I don't want to come there to someone sit there, you know, drive me crazy. Now, if you want it, you might just tell him. I wouldn't start giving an itemized bill on every single thing because you get into fights with the guy. Because like, you're used to what you are. You say, look, I have fridge back. Look, if you're willing to do it, give me the stock of the guy. Look, I have fridge back is $5,000. I'm going to give me the stock. Are you interested in it? Yes or not? Take or leave it. You know, whatever. Don't get too much in the details because you end up in the.
At that point, why can't you just say I'm looking for a buyer who wants to buy the furniture?
Like a brokerage fee. That's
right, okay. We could call a brokerage fee. We could do it. That's what I'm saying. That's why I can't say it's awesome. Because we call a brokerage fee. We could say, if I have a choice between giving him and him, and he maybe would want it, so why can't I give it to him? But the question is, let's do a quick way of like, how many people are, okay. Can we just do a raise of hands? How many people wanted the furniture package? How many didn't want the furniture package? Just get a fair answer, okay? How many people wanted the furniture package when you came? You rather have it as opposed to furnishing yourself. You rather? You also sound like you rather? Like, how many people do not want it? How can we have three yeah, three no, and 10 abstaining? What is the United Nations or something? Okay, fine. Let's move on. Okay, fine. How much time do I have left? Can we get on the clock?
2 hours.
No, so how much time do I have left? 15 minutes, so a couple of topics. Should we talk? Okay, I'll give you a choice. What we can speak about. We can speak about like mortgages in terms of some ribbons issues on mortgages. So one thing we can speak about. We can speak about like somebody has a job, you want to like offer your services, like to try to take away a person's job. To Matt, has they committed in your dira? Like we have to pay your dira for? Or call of the day?
On contract.
What do you say?
Can I ask you a question on contract? Yeah. If someone breaks a contract,
yeah,
does that give other people in the contract the right to break their end of the deal?
Definitely. What do you mean? But if it depends on how much he's broken. But if you're supposed to pay rent, you don't pay rent. Take it away. Yeah, that's like a while.
Then. No. So let's say if you're going to babysitting service, right? Gone. So
that's dangerous, Khan, yeah. Okay. Yeah. They get all these shots. Yeah, they're not taking care of the kid. The kid came home one day and the diaper hasn't changed.
No, like a basic rule, like everyone has to commit to their spot. That's part of a functional job. And if the person leaves, they have to find a replacement.
Yeah.
Now what if a person leaves and no one's enforcing that they find a replacement? They tried and they can't find someone. But now the Mora feels like they're not getting enough money. Yeah. So, and you know they're not enforcing it just because it's like a touchy thing to do. So now the Mora wants to back out because they're not making enough money and no one's getting replacements. Yeah.
I'm saying.
What happens in that? And there was a contract signed that everyone has to find.
And they should force the other person to get a replacement. And the more would have to work. The more would be the
better. Who would have to
work? The more would have to work. Because she could force the other person to. She could force other people to get a replacement. So she could force other people. It shouldn't be a nice guy and then also mess someone else up. Okay, I'm going to mention one thing about ribbis. It's very important. This is one of the biggest, most common mistakes people make in ribbis. In terms of when you buy yourself an apartment eventually or a house. So you go ahead, you go and buy yourself a house somewhere. You guys don't know much of a credit rating. You're not able to get a mortgage. So in general, what do people do? They get their parents and in-laws to sign on the mortgage, and you pay them. That's like a classical standard thing to do. Are you guys familiar with this, or not really? You guys aren't on the stage yet, right? I gotta say it quickly. This is what people do. You can't get a mortgage, you get your parents to sign on a mortgage, and basically you're gonna pay off the mortgage payments every single month. You're gonna pay the bank, and that's how it's structured, so you can get a mortgage. But that cloud, doing that is ribbis deraisa. Why? You have to hear this, remember this. Why? Because what's happening in the situation? The bank is lending who the money?
The parents.
The parents are lending the parents money. The parents are lending you the money. And you're paying off. You owe, the parents or the bank, you owe your parents. You're paying the bank. By paying the bank, you're paying back your parents. So you, every single month, are paying for this. You guys got it?
No.
Your parents signed on the mortgage for you. So the bank lent them, let's say, $500,000. They went, lend you the $500,000 now. Okay, so now we have two loans over here. The bank to your parents to you. Now, the way you have to talk to your parents is you're gonna pay back every single month, the bank, the money. Now the bank, you're paying back ribbis. So really what happens, your parents lend you money, the ribbis, and you're paying them back. How are you paying them back? Instead of giving them the money, they're giving to the bank. You're paying up their loan. So that's a case of ribbis deraisa. Yeah, it's kind of. Mm. So this is when you buy a apartment.
Is there a way to structure that differently?
Yeah, so the way you have to do one of two things. Either there's a way of structuring differently that maybe one way of structuring it is that maybe your parents own the house, you're buying the house from them. That's one way of structuring it. The other way is making Hatariska. I'm not going through all the complications of Hatariska. It's like, it's more than a 45-minute share. But basically, there's a way of making Hatariska that you're not making it a loan, you're making some type of investment, and through making an investment, that's the way to go ahead and do it. And you should just know, a good portion of business deals, you have to realize this, when you go out to the business world, a good portion of business deals, the way business is done, is going to need a Hatariska. If there are, even on your rental contract, right? It says in your rental contract, if you pay late, what happens? Any guys have a... Huh? There's a fee. Does it go up every single day?
Yeah.
Okay, then you need a Hatariska. If you have a, if you have for just, if you have a one-time fee you can have, if it's going up every single day, that's like, it's being described every single day. Every day you pay an extra fee. You need a Hatariska. A good portion of, I'm saying business contracts, if you're dealing with Jews, you're going to need investments, you're going to need a Hatariska. So I'm saying when you go out to the business world, make sure you have a Rav. Or somebody who is familiar with these things and make sure they ask Chaz on these things. Because in many cases, which it's even people realize after these massive business deals and also they realize ribbis and kaput, they can't take the money and it's complicated. And it sounds like ribbis is a very, very serious issue. So make sure when you move back to America, make sure you have a Muslim move back. Yeah, make sure that you have a Rav who's familiar with these things and make sure that your Chaz Benigaya having a Benigaya before a person does a business deal. I just want to mention, just while I want you to talk about moving back to America, we find this expression that before Klai Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim, they sent Yehuda to build a Beis Medrash. So Moshe has a kashayla, like, well, what's the big rush? Now, why can't they, before they even go down, they send Yehuda ahead to build a Beis Medrash? So Ramesh says that, yeah, there's the only way for a Yid to survive in Galus. If a person has some type of sheikhas to Beis Medrash, to Yeshiva, to Amakim Torah, and I'm saying the most important thing for you guys when you move back is that you move back to a place that you have some sheikhs, as you guys grow up in yeshiva, some sheikhs, some yeshiva, some koil, some type of connection. The difference between the Yengalite, when you look at Yengalite, they're certain like, place for the whole thing, and all of a sudden you see like 5-10 years later, and you're like, you don't recognize them. Like, what happened to them? Like, they totally changed. And you see some guy come chashva balabatim, and they stick to the ideas, they stick to the Torah values. The difference is if you have a sheikhas to a makam Torah, a sheikhas to a rebbe, then that's interesting day or night. And that's the thing, that's the most important thing you guys need to know before you guys move back. Find a place where you can have some shaykhs to Shiva, a kailo. You have to make sure you have a Rebbe, a Rav. I heard from somebody said a mental health professional. Said that if people would have Rabbanim, then half of their mental health issues would be solved. A lot of the mental health issues is that you don't have an anchor in your life. You don't have clarity. You don't know what to do. You're not sure what to do. You don't have the right guidance to make the wrong mistakes. If you have like an anchor, you have somebody like a spiro, somebody who is anchoring you, somebody who is guiding you, they'll take care of at least 50% of your issues. So two things I've done when we move back is get a place you have a shakas on Ventura, make sure you have a place you have a Rebbe, a Rav, somebody who can anchor your life. That's the difference between night or day in terms of what's going to be with you guys.
Specifically a Makam Tyro, or do you have a place that has a good shul?
As somebody who grew up in the Ilmei Shiva says, you guys are, I would very strongly recommend, the ideal is a Makam Tyro, because it'll keep you in that, your connection to the yeshiva world, as opposed to a good shul. So definitely, Makam Tyro is the highest, the best place for a person to be. Not always practical. You know, some of you guys can move out of town, or love Africa there is, but for sure that. For sure a place to have a good shul, a good rav. But Makam Tyro definitely is the... You just see the difference in people. I mean, you know them even more than me, right? You see all you guys, right? The difference between the guys who stayed, you know, Shaikas the place, Shaikas to the Rebbe. They, you know, they kept, you know, they keep good, keep strong, and the ones that don't, and, okay, anyone with more halachas? I do Anim HaPach quickly. You don't know about Anim HaPach, or? You had to share it, or?
We dabbed
that,
not much.
Okay, just quickly, we have like about 5 minutes left. Okay, another concept of Chayshim Mishpat is that a lot of times, if somebody, it's the other side of the business deal. Let's say somebody has agreement to buy something, and you want to come in and get away from the person. Apartment, right? Somebody has an apartment, and you want to come along, and you go to Baldira, 8.5, you go to Baldira, 9,000. Now the Baldira is going to back out. Or, same thing with, you want to get a job, right? So it's very competitive out there to get jobs, not easy. So you want to go ahead and you offer your services at a cheaper price in order to make the person to get rid of the person, and you'll get a cheaper price. So it brings down the something called Anim HaPach B'Charo. Now if somebody bought and somebody else comes along and takes it, the Gemara says that's Nikra Rasha. Now, so if somebody has an agreement with somebody, a family agreement, and you come along and you wanna now to join the bidding, that's a problem. This is the opposite of Mechus Aman. Mechus Aman was that what? If I agree to something, then what? You gotta keep it. This is opposite. Somebody else is trying to break the deal, but coming offering a higher price. When I bought my Dira, so I was looking around for the Dira for a long time. I came to the Dira, looked at it a couple of times. You know, it's a pretty heavy commitment. You know, this is cost a lot of money. Finally, we decided at night, I looked at the Dira. So I discussed with my wife, decided at night, okay, we're taking the Dira. Came back the next morning. The guy said, you would not believe it. Somebody walked in last night at 9 o'clock, walked into the Dira, saw it once. The agent convinced him to take it and said they're taking it. Finished. And we said, we told him, like, maybe think about it. Like, you know, should I want to think about it? They're like, no, taking the Dira. The agent, so the guy said, like, but if you offer me another $20,000, it's yours. $20,000 shekel. It was like $5,000. That was $6,000, which is like nothing compared to the, you know, in the scale of the apartments. In the apartments. So, am I allowed to do it or not?
You were offered it first.
I was thinking about it, didn't get the commitment, they committed.
You were offered, but you were in the.
No, so that, okay, that Rabbi Asher said, my brother said, Rabbi Asher, he said that Ani Mapach starts when you have a commitment. When it's the final commitment, then the other person can come along. Being I didn't have a final commitment, so the kids are. The guy said, 20,000 shekel, it's all yours. This is like, I look at my apartment, it's like the fourth time my apartment fell from the last second. I mean, this is like, time to back to Chassar, it's like, Min HaShemayim, right? You know? What?
So you committed the night before.
I told my wife. She's not selling to me. I know, but I didn't commit with the person himself. So all is, you're not allowed to do that. I told the owner, I love to take the apartment. The guy said, I even rather give it to you, for 20,000 shekel, because you have a lot of kids and like your beard, whatever it is that they made up of 20,000 shekel, I'll give it to you, I mean, so much money, whatever. I said, can't do that.
You'll have sound deal?
Huh?
He's
allowed to. The moiker is allowed to because something it's OB if something OB mochas someone a shayla something.
Even if it's unforeseen, he's making you do something wrong.
No, so therefore, later. So if I cannot do, I'm not doing it. Finished. So then he called me back later that day and said the guy called him up and said like his parents are coming and they just want to like, you know, they want to think about it. I'm like, I'm taking it. It's mine. So I said, I'm a second. I'm going for it. So I said, I'm taking it. Then the agent heard about it. Yeah, the agent was losing, you know, she was losing a deal. So she called the guy up and tell him that he's doing chasar mana or something. I don't know, ribbis or mishapar. That's what. That's it. Tell him to do mishapar. And doing his aser. So I know the halacha. Okay, but I told the guy like this. Like I'll make you a deal. I don't want to start bidding war with the guy now, right? We could start a bidding war, right? And just put up the price. Especially when you have an agent, so agent takes 2%. So the agent, I know agent search, right? What would you do in this situation?
I never sold
the house. Okay, so the house. You make 2%. What do? You have leverage. You tell the thing, 1% or take the 35,000 shekel and or 35,000. You add on 10,000, so now, you know, and then you're way over the guy, right? I knew 1,000% the agent's going to do that. So I had to like also work the guy, otherwise I'm going to lose the apartment. I tell the guy, make a deal. We'll go. I tell the agent also. Okay, this is what we're doing. We're going to get a shayla. If I'm right, we're not starting bidding war. I said, anyhow, start bidding war. I'm going to wrap it up. 500,000 shekel. You know, just you make me lose money. I wasn't, but okay. That's after negotiate. But I said, look, you just make me lose money. Nobody's doing this. We're going to get a shayla. If I'm right, you're out. So, okay, the guy agreed. So, you know, we went to get a shayla. We went to Herzog Berkowitz. And it's like, you're thinking about it. So, you know, well, there's only one year. 1,000% committed. Once he started, he's thinking about it. I have a right to take it. And then, you know, that's the middle. The agent Taka did that, called the guy up. You know, since I was standing next to him, called the agent said, no, I love this entire. He goes, okay, I'll take up 1%. The guy said, no, can't do it. Gave my word. I'm saying, gave my word. I do for sure I do it. So, but, and so ended a while.
If he did with the agent's shtick, you already told him.
Yeah, we made a deal. We committed something. I knew this is where it's heading, so whatever. But, like, if you know you're right, always, you should always ask, you should, right, when it comes, okay, so with this one, or anything, like, you should always, you have to realize, you know, when it comes to Chesed Mishpat, the person always has negias, the person always thinks he's right, and everything every person always thinks is right, right? Never had a person call me up and think, like, oh, okay? Many times, like, they're so wrong, like, dead wrong, okay? And negias is, I have to say, person negias. When you have a disagreement with somebody, just tell the person, I don't know, maybe you're right, maybe I'm right. Let's go ask a shayla together. And you go ask a shayla together like this. Doesn't get too heated, doesn't get too much in the fight, and you know, whatever the luck is, that's, you know, the poor person can't have time. It's just, I don't know, maybe right, maybe I'm right. Let's ask a shayla together. You have to find somebody who knows Chesed Mishpat. Not everyone knows Chesed Mishpat. You just have to ask around, find out, you know, if they're well-versed in the halachas of Chesed Mishpat. But, you know, you always have to be asking shaylas, and that will solve a lot of the fights. And solve a lot of the anxiety, and you know that's something which that's something. What I was saying, it's something which people start from Chaim. Also, going to get this kasha. Chavetz Chaim was getting older, and Chacham used to go to his rabbi Chavetz Chaim for Rosh Hashanah Kippur every single year. So he told his talmidim, "You have 5 seconds." He told his talmidim that you should go look at Chavetz Chaim because you know, Chavetz Chaim is getting old, and it's a big stress to see such a kasha person. And I only am in the next world, like who's gonna be zeicha to you know to see the Chavetz Chaim? And I can be on who can be on the Madrigal Chavetz Chaim to go and see him. And if we make sure to take a good look at him. So they went to Yom Niram and then you know Matzi and Kippur. So Rabbi Chanan brought the Talmidim into Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim is very very old, like he barely can see, and he said that when he walked, he told the Bacham, "Come close, I want to see." Come close, I want to take a look at you. So Chanes like, why? He said, we find this parasha. The Yaakovina said, I want to go ahead and see Yosef, Betan Ramos. I have to make sure I go see Yosef before I go ahead and die. That's the Chavetz Chaim. Yaakovina was saying is that I'm old man, so I'm going to die. In the next world, I don't know if I'll be able to be together with Yosef. Yosef at Tzaddik, who grew up in Galus, grew up with all these saints in Mitzrayim, and he stayed Yosef at Tzaddik. That's such a wonderful high madriga. Yaakov, you know, I wasn't faced with that. I don't know if I could be with Yosef in the next world. So Chaim said, me, I grew up in the shtetl. It wasn't so much these sinus, but these young bachrim who are faced with such strong sinus and stay strong and they stay from and they stay yeshiva bachrim. I want to see these people because I don't know if the next world, if I'll be able to, because I'm saying, I'll be on the jig of these yeshiva bachrim. Which, this is something which, you know, I was kind of talking about the yeshiva bachrim then, koskin, koskin now, in the generation where we live, where we're faced with so much sinus, to realize somebody who stays strong, somebody who stays part of the Yom HaTaira, somebody who stays strong in his values and stays a Kedusha V'Taira, what a tremendous, tremendous madriga and schus that you guys are on. Now, Yerucham used to say, it could be the average yeshiva bachrim is on the same madriga to Kivegar. Being that we're faced with so much, and we survive and we live through it, it's just a tremendous schus, and you know, it's a tremendous schus to be in the Kaisi Bishmanish, and Shobi Zeicher, to stay here as long as possible.